The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Another parable Jesus put before the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Holy One, there are so many times in this perilous time of pandemic when we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for ourselves and for others in our lives. Help us to trust that your Spirit is always praying in us, even when we cannot come up with the words. Help us to follow that example and lift others into your presence in prayer, knowing that you are with us always. Amen. The runner, named Ari Afsevit, was about 100 yards from the finish line when he went down hard. A couple of runners tried to extend a hand to get him to his feet, but when he did not get up easily, they kept running to cross the finish line. It had been a long 26.15 miles on a day hotter than anyone had expected, and it was understandable that they wanted to be done. After all, they'd been training tirelessly for months to get to this point, and their goal, finishing the 2016 Boston Marathon, was so close in sight. But two men, Jim Driscoll and Mitch Keys, when they came to Afsevit, stopped running, lifted him off the ground, and with one of his arms around each of their shoulders, they carried him the last 100 yards and across the finish line and got him to the medic's tent, where Afsevit was started on IV fluids and transported to the hospital to recover. The picture of three men crossing the finish line was published in the Boston Globe and was celebrated as a perfect example of the Boston Strong mentality that came to popularity after the violence at the 2013 marathon, a symbol of both perseverance and of strangers coming together in a time of need. But when I came across the image of the two runners carrying off Sevet across the finish line a couple of weeks ago, it reminded me of something else as well. But it might not be what you expect. The image reminded me of the prayer of intercession, and I'll tell you why. Some of you may be familiar with the Brothers of the Society of St. John the Evangelist, whose monastery in Cambridge is just across the Charles River from the Boston Marathon's finish line. A few years ago, the order's superior, Brother Jeffrey Tristram, wrote about the prayer of intercession as being carried close to the heart of God. In the prayer of intercession, the one who is praying carries those who are being prayed for to the very heart of God, where there's even more rest and healing to be found than at the finish line of a long 26.2 miles in the hot sun. There's precedent in our Gospels for this way of thinking about intercession. In a story that appears in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when a paralytic is carried by his friends to be in the presence of Jesus, they end up having to lower him down through the roof because the crowds around Jesus are so dense. And the Gospels say that when Jesus saw the faith of this man's friends, he forgave the man's sins and healed him of his paralysis. This man was healed because of his friend's faithfulness in carrying him into the presence of Jesus. This is how powerful intercession can be. And in the lesson from Romans this morning, we hear about the most powerful intercessors of all, as Paul tells us that both the Holy Spirit and Jesus intercede on our behalf. We need not overlook the significance of this statement. For as much as we are able to carry one another into the heart of God in our prayers, our ability to do this has its limits because of our human flaws and incomplete knowledge of God. But Jesus and the Holy Spirit, God who dwelled on this earth and shared our human experience, and God who dwells within each and every one of us, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, are about as powerful as intercessors could possibly get. Because you can't get any closer to the heart of God than being God. And so in their intercession for each of us, our concerns and our needs are very present with God. And through our own prayers of intercession, we have the opportunity to join our prayers with theirs, to carry others with us into the presence of God. Yet, as simple as this idea might sound, the prayer of intercession is one of the types of prayer that people have the most questions about. When I talk with people about praying for the people they love, there are questions that come up again and again. Do we think we're telling God about something God doesn't already know? Are we trying to convince God to do something or to change God's mind about something that's happening? And while I have heard incredible stories from people about miraculous answers to prayer, how do we handle it? And why would we keep praying when the miracle doesn't seem to happen? When I'm faced with questions such as these, whether they're coming from someone else, or when I wonder these things myself, I find some answers in this image of intercession as carrying the people we love with us into God's presence. Not necessarily neat and tidy answers, but really, how many neat and tidy answers do we ever get when it comes to our faith and prayer life? To be perfectly honest, the deeper I go into my own faith and prayer life, the more problematic I find neat and tidy answers to be anyway. Because God never quite seems to want to follow our rules or stay in the boxes we've constructed for God. So I'm not standing up here with all the answers. But I'll tell you what I do know. No matter the outcome of whatever it is I'm praying for, I do experience a miracle every time I carry someone with me into the presence of God. The miracle I experience is that God changes me. When I take my concerns for someone into the presence of God, the source of all love, I am transformed by that experience. I learn how to love better. In making the time and space to pray for someone, I am opening myself to learning how to love them. I promise you that it's really hard to spend time in prayer with God, with someone on your mind and heart, and not find yourself with at least a little more love for that person than when you started. This even works with people you don't especially like, even with people who have hurt you. Our own experience of God's love in prayer makes us better able to love the people around us. The other thing that happens when we carry others into God's presence is that we're opening ourselves to being a part of God's answers to our prayers. Another member of the Society of St. John the Evangelist, James Coster, has written that intercession is a call to love and action, not just by God, but also by us. The act of being with God, with someone on our minds and hearts, has a strange way of affecting us, causing us to be more attentive and thoughtful, more aware of their needs and how we might be able to respond. Like the runners who carried Ari Afsevit the last 100 yards of the Boston Marathon, engaging in the prayer of intercession might mean that we need to slow ourselves down, to be more attentive to the needs of those around us. Means we might need to set our selfish goals aside. When we carry someone with us into the presence of God, it means that we are placing both that person and ourselves in the presence of the source of all love. Even in those circumstances where we're not seeing the outcome of our prayers that we'd like, or we're not seeing it as quickly as we'd like, there is one thing that is happening in the meantime. Our capacity to love grows. And we bear that love to the people in our lives who might really need it. It's a love that's bigger than any one of us. And as Paul reminds us in Romans, it's a love from which we can never be separated. Not in life or death. Not in pandemic. Not in the bleakest of circumstances or most trying times. There are people in every one of our lives who desperately need to be reminded of God's love. It's a powerful and a risky thing to pray for someone because things really can change. It may not be exactly what we expect, but when we open ourselves to God in this way, pretty incredible things are possible. When we open ourselves to being a part of the healing and transformation we hope for, when we lift someone up in prayer, and we open ourselves to being the living reminders of God's love, a love that will endure beyond all trials, a love that cannot be overcome. We don't have to worry about praying the right words. Paul reminds us that the Holy Spirit takes care of even that. We just need to make some space
to enter into God's presence, carrying with us the people we love, and then see how our loving God is calling us to participate in being part of the answer. Amen.